Welcome to the Center for Spiritual Living Santa Rosa, a spiritual community that promotes global transformation through personal transformation. At the center, we are motivated by a compelling vision of a healthy, loving world, which we call the Global Heart Vision. This vision inspires us to bring the gifts of compassion and loving kindness to the world through our ministries and teaching. What you are about to hear is a recording of a message delivered at the Center for Spiritual Living Santa Rosa. Feel welcomed. Feel at home.
Where she supported refugees, dreamers, and worked to ensure equal rights for women and the LGBTQ populations. She is a passionate advocate for human dignity for all people, and her ministry is dedicated to creating a world that works for everyone. Please help me welcome Reverend Shannon O'Hurley.
Thank you. Thank you, Lawrence. Good morning. Good morning. How are you all? Oh, my goodness. It is so wonderful to be here. I love coming here to this center. It is just, it's just a warm, loving place for me to be, to share. And I have to tell you, I happen to adore your senior minister, Dr. Edward. Like, I just adore that man. And this is just one of the small reasons why. So this book that is your book of the month, Creative Mind and Success. So not that long ago, I was poking around on Facebook. And actually, many of us are Facebook friends. Hello, I love you. And I was poking around and I saw Dr. Edward do a video, just a short little snippet, and he was sharing that this Creative Mind and Success, this classic, was going to be your book of the month. And then he said that you were using the updated and gender neutral version. I almost fell off my chair. I have literally been talking for a decade about how wonderful it would be to be able to take some of the classic metaphysical texts that are in public domain and update them and put them into gender-neutral language, being this progressive movement that we are. And so I looked up on the web. I looked up Newt List Publishing, and I found the publisher and the gentleman who did all this work, and I wrote him a fan letter. And I said, thank you. And then we set up a time and we talked, and now we're friends. And I just have to say, I don't know if Martha is here, but if there's more of these in the bookstore, are there more in these in the books? Oh, go get them. Go get one. Just for the love of it. You know, really, and it's a testament to Dr. Edward and his consciousness and what he brings to this beautiful community. So really, you are the cool kids of the movement, just so you know. Just saying. So this month is Back to Basics, and you've been going over the chapters, the first four chapters, each week in the month of January from the Science of Mind textbook, which is really just such a wonderful thing to do in January to kind of kick off the year in such a lovely way. So I want to do just a very quick review. So week one, the thing itself, which is the power back of all creation, the invisible essence, the great love of the universe, which is beyond language, that which we call spirit or God. And then the second week of January, it was the way it works, the way this God spirit love works. And spirit works for us by working through us. But the key here, and this is important, we must get out of our own way. That's a daily prayer for me, you know, to get out of my own way. And that way we can clear sort of the pathway and co-create with the divine, open our channel and be open to the divine. And then week three, last week, Elizabeth brought to you what it does. And the thing is we are surrounded by a love intelligence that knows everything. Every single thing there is to know. And each one of us has the infinite potential to draw from it. If you think about it, all inventions, great art, architecture, scientific discovery, all wisdom that has come to humanity has come to those who were open and receptive to it. Which brings me, bless you, which brings me to this final week where I get to tie it up in a lovely bow. I just love that. And that is how to use it. How to use it. So how to use it? We harness the divine power of the indwelling spirit for greater good within ourselves and the world. This is how we use it. I'm going to say that one more time. We harness the divine power of the indwelling spirit for greater good within ourselves and in the world. There's an ancient story you may have heard about a famous rabbi, Rabbi Akiva. He lived in Israel a long, 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 long time ago. And late one afternoon, Rabbi Akiva was walking home along the northern shore of the Sea of Galilee. And he was lost in thought, and somehow he took a wrong turn, and he stumbled upon a Roman fort. And a Roman guard sort of stopped him, and he shouted down to him, "Who are you, and why have you come here?" And Rabbi Akiva was startled, and being the wise rabbi that he was, he looked up at the guard, and he said, "Who are you, and why have you come here?" And the soldier replied, "I am employed by the Roman army to watch this road. Who are you, and why have you come here?" Rabbi Akiva thought about this reply, and he shouted back up at the Roman guard, "How much do you get paid to ask these questions?" And the soldier replied, 10 denarius a day. And then Rabbi Akiva shouted back up to the Roman guard, "I'll pay you double to stand outside of my house and shout those same words to me every morning." Who are you, and why have you come here? So I love that you all are moving into this beautiful theme of spirituality in action. You are just my people. The fact that you're going to be doing this entire year, oh my word, I think that we have such a beautiful opportunity here in the New Thought Progressive Spirituality Movement to be a voice for the vulnerable and to take a stand for equality. And I promise you, I'm going to get to that. But first, my friends, as always, we must begin within. We must begin this work with ourselves and move out from there. Are you with me? Okay. So I'm going to invite you just in this beautiful, safe sanctuary, this beautiful place, to just gently for a moment check in with yourself and notice, just notice, if there may be an area in your life that feels like it might be calling for some loving attention, perhaps some realignment. It could be a job that maybe you've outgrown mentally or spiritually. It could be a relationship that maybe is feeling unpleasant or even maybe toxic. It could be a habit that no longer serves you, finances. Maybe you would just like to experience more creativity in your life, more connection with your partner or your loved ones, more vitality in your life. Or maybe you just want a little more pizzazz. We could all use a little more pizzazz. So just check in. Just check in for a moment and notice. Notice. Notice what you might want to bring more love and light to. What is that area in your life? You know, so often, we don't do these regular check-ins with ourselves. You know, we're going along as life has us go along. And we don't take the time to actually check in. And what can happen is we can unconsciously become complacent to that which has become our normal, or perhaps even our new normal. But the thing is that the ever-giving life force of the universe, God, love, did not create us to just settle. God didn't create us to be complacent. Now, this doesn't mean that we have to do anything really big. That's not what I'm talking about. Like, this isn't about you becoming president. You know, although 2020 is just around the corner, if there are any takers, it's there for you. But what I'm talking about here is your inner level of fulfillment, your inner level of peace, of joy, of great love, so that you can then feel it so deeply that you're able to carry it out into the world. It becomes a mirror, a ripple for others. Thomas Merton, the great Thomas Merton, said, "The biggest human temptation is to settle for too little." And I believe he meant to settle for too little joy, for too little peace, for too little happiness. How often do you ask someone, "How are you doing?" And their response is, "Meh, I'm okay." Now we all have meh days. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the overall, "I'm okay, I'm okay." My friends, I'm inviting you to not settle for just okay. The great poet who lives in my heart, her words, Mary Oliver, who just passed to the other side of life, she wrote, "When it's over, I don't want to wonder if I have made my life something particular and real. I don't want to find myself sighing and frightened or full of argument. I don't want to end up simply having visited this world." I do not believe that we incarnated here to live an okay existence. This light at the center of us, this life force, this infinite love is always, always, in all ways, nudging us onward to a greater experience of itself, nudging us to a greater experience of love. And I can tell you from experience myself that it often takes courage. It can take courage to step out of complacency and to really look at what might be temporarily out of alignment in our lives. Now, you may be sitting there and saying to yourself, "Well, how do I even begin, Shannon? How do I even do that? You know, I'm so deep in complacency and I've been settling for this, whatever that is, for so long that I don't even know where to begin." Well, Elizabeth Gilbert says, if you don't know what to do next, start with not this. So, for example, I don't know what my next job will be, but I know it's not this. I don't know what to do about my relationship, but I know it's not this. You know, how will I manage the fill in the blank? I don't know how to do that, but I know it's not this. It's not how I'm doing it now. And that "not this," those two powerful words, it's this lovely bridge to wake you up and to begin that inner work to get you moving forward. So if you happen to be in an unsure place, if you happen to be going through a challenging time right now, know that the love intelligence, God, the thing itself, is always with you, even in bleak and what seem to be, what feel to be dark times. You know, there are so many rich stories in the Hebrew Bible and in the New Testament that point to this. If you think about it, in the creation story, in Genesis, in the beginning, everything was made by God out of the darkness. Then in the book of Exodus, God promises to come to Moses on Mount Sinai in a dense or dark cloud. In Isaiah 45, it says, "I will give you hidden treasures in the dark." Jacob wrestles an angel in the middle of the night. The angels announce the birth of the Christ to the shepherds at night. Throughout all of these ancient stories, God's spirit, the divine light, is always present in the darkness. Always present within the darkness. And yet we forget this, don't we? We forget this when we are experiencing our own feelings of darkness, of challenge, or even of just inertia or lethargy. I mean, how many of us have, I know I have, how many of us here, you know, you have something to attend to. There is something that must be dealt with that is calling for you. And yet, you choose to watch another episode on Netflix. You know? But just know God is right there on the couch with you. You know? God is always present, always present. In what feels to be darkness or that part of us that hesitates to move forward. There's an old Sufi story that I love so much, and it's about a woman in a far-off land a long, long time ago. And she's traveling a very far distance, and she realizes that she's lost. After many, many miles of walking, and she's traveling alone, her feet are sore. She realizes she's lost, and then after more miles, she realizes that she's out of water, and she's very thirsty, and she knows that she needs to drink water. And so she keeps going, and then finally, she hears the sound of trickling water. And so she follows that sound, only to discover that that water is actually a muddy stream, and she can't drink out of it because it would make her sick. But she knows she has to have water to survive. So exhausted and thirsty, she follows that muddy stream. And eventually, it leads into a cave. She's alone. She's alone. And the cave is dark and ominous looking. And she has no idea what is inside that cave. But in order to survive, she knows that she must follow the muddy stream, the source of water of survival, into that dark cave. And so she summons all of her strength and her courage. And she lights her lantern in front of her. And she steps into the cave. And almost as soon as she steps into the cave, she sees that in actuality, it is lit with beautiful crystals. The walls are covered with crystals. And at the center of the cave, what her light shows her is that there is a pool of fresh water, the source of water. And she is completely safe. And she has saved herself from certain death. And this is how we use it. This is how we harness the love of God from within us. We remember and trust that even when we are seemingly alone, that is not the truth. We are never alone. God, source, has us always, always. Even in our own seeming cave, those moments where we feel like we're in a cave, our inner light is right there showing the way if we turn to it. If we turn to that eternal light of love within us, we are changed. It softens our edges. We feel safe. And moreover, we then become inspired to feel more of this love and this safety, this communication, this ongoing communication with the divine. So how do we do this? We do this through practice. Spiritual practice, prayer, meditation, contemplation, gratitude, act of kindness, being of service. And you have so many beautiful opportunities here in this center to be of service. Dr. Edward provides, and all of you here, everyone provides beautiful opportunities to do this. The thing is, the reason why this is so important in our teaching is because we understand that it takes practice. It takes practice to create this continuous, beautiful dialogue with the divine. Robert Frost, the most honored American poet of his century, he won 4 Pulitzer Prizes, and he never went to college, but he wanted to write. He wanted to write. He was completely self-taught, and he created space for him every day to write. And once he committed himself to this passion, he was able to create the conditions for himself to study and to learn and to become one of the greatest writers of his time. There's a term called deliberate practice. Deliberate practice is a term coined by psychologist and researcher K. Anders Erickson out of Florida State University. And what he and his team actually discovered is that unlike the old belief that some people are just innately good at something, what they actually discovered is that to become masterful at something, to achieve mastery, has very, very little to do with innate ability, except for height in sports. So my 4'3¼" self may want to stay away from attempting to be a center for the NBA. As you can see there, this is the great 7'2" basketball player and extraordinary humanitarian, Dikembe Mutombo. And those kids are all just laughing hysterically. Yes, there's no hope for me for basketball. That's just so not even a chance, not even a chance. Such a good guy. But other than height, the mastery of a subject actually requires deliberate practice. If I hadn't quit those piano lessons, dang it. But it's true. It's just practice. I'm certain many of you in this room, I'm certain there are meditators here. You know exactly what I am talking about. There is no such thing as an innate meditator. It comes over time by sitting in the silence, by strengthening that muscle, by practicing. And then after a while, you sort of wake up to it and you go, oh my gosh, I am a seasoned meditator. It's practice. It's practice, loves. Billy Joel got up every single morning, which wasn't easy because a lot of times, you know, he'd be playing late nights, you know, his gigs and whatnot. But every single morning he set time aside to get up early and sit at the piano to write music. And some mornings, most mornings, he said, what came out was just gobbledygook, you know. And then there were the mornings when what came out or came through, you know, was sing us a song, you're the piano man. I mean, you know, that's a great song. We must create the conditions for love or grace itself to move through us. And we do that with practice. Anne Lamott wrote, grace meets us where we are, but it does not leave us where it found us. Who are you and why have you come here? I believe that we can take this principle to the next natural evolutionary level because we get to be the light bringers for each other. We are each other's angels right here on earth. And we can choose to also use or harness the love within ourselves to be the light in the center of someone else's cave. In the Rastafarian language, there is no word that sufficiently translates as you or other. They don't have that word. So instead of saying you and I in the Rastafarian language, they would say I and I. I and I. I and I. I and I. Ernest Holmes said, within each one of us is the secret place of the Most High, the Holy of the Holies, the Ark of the Covenant, the Scroll of Life, the sacred name for God. I and I. Within each one of us is the secret place of the Most High, within each one of us, the Holy of the Holies, the Ark of the Covenant, the Scroll of Life, the sacred name of God. Whether we know it or not, I and I. And when we deeply, deeply recognize that every heartbeat is in actuality the heartbeat of the divine, we walk in the world differently. And we recognize that we can apply these beautiful spiritual principles that you all have been talking about all month for the greater good of the members of this one human family that we all get to be a part of. Mother Teresa said, we belong to each other. We belong to each other. 12 years ago, a man by the name of Blake Mykoski was traveling in Argentina, and he noticed many children there who had no shoes. And this really bothered him. So when he got back to the States, he came up with a very simple idea right there in his apartment. And this idea was that he could create a company and a shoe company. And for every pair of shoes that they sold, they would give away a pair of shoes tomorrow. And he named his company Tom's. You know, Tom's Shoes. It was originally going to be called Tomorrow's Shoes, but they couldn't fit tomorrow on the little tag on the back of the shoes, so it became Tom's Shoes. But here's the part that I love the most. And that is that Blake said that when they put the intention out into the world, when they made a strong intention and gave people real, tangible opportunities to be givers, to be light bringers, to use their money for good, they showed up. People showed up. The human family members showed up. And to date, Tom's has given 86 million pairs of shoes to those who need them. Isn't that something? Elizabeth Barrett Browning said, "Earth is crammed with heaven." So, to use it, we harness the divine power of the indwelling spirit within us by choosing not to settle or become complacent in our lives. There's no God in that. And then this calls us to, as the Buddha taught, be a lamp unto ourselves. Light a lamp unto ourselves to make the so-called dark places, those caves within us, conscious. To wake up. And we do this through spiritual practice. And as this becomes an intrinsic part of you, this spiritual practice, you see the grace of it. It's like your divine atmosphere walks into the room before you do. This ongoing active relationship with spirit, with God, becomes over time just simply how you are in the world. And by doing this work consistently, sing us a song, you're the piano man. By doing this work consistently, then your light becomes so bright that it cannot help but to be a beacon of light and comfort for others in the world. That's how this works. And this divine power of the indwelling spirit, this continual divine connection and conversation, it's in that place that you deeply know who you are and why you have come here. So let's move into prayer. I invite you to just get quiet. You might want to take a deep breath. Take it a moment. What a blessing it is to sense, feel, and know this divine love, this divine indwelling spirit, this eternal light that sits at the seat of our soul, always at the ready. How good it is to know that this same love is at the center of every being on this planet, on the seen and unseen sides of life, that each of us share this indwelling spirit. We are part of it. We are God's stuff. We are spirit in shoes right here. And what a blessing it is to know this, to absolutely know that if there is anything that we have a calling to adjust, to realign, to release, to embrace, to grow into, to lean into, to celebrate, that we get to do it. We get to co-create with the love at the center of us, that we are never alone, that we are always in God, love, spirit, and God, love, spirit is always in us. And so it is from this place of absolute anchored oneness that I speak my word for each one of us here, knowing that as we move out into the day, the week, this year of spirituality and action, that we get to be a light in someone else's temporary cave. We get to be a light unto ourselves and a light unto others. What a blessing this is to be alive right here and right now. What a blessing it is to roll up our sleeves and to do this sacred and holy work, to practice and to know that Spirit is right where we are. God is right where we are. And so in this moment, I allow this prayer to be a beacon of light and love to any place in the world that is calling for it. And on this beautiful day, this beautiful Sunday, I bless all churches everywhere, all mosques, temples, ashrams, circles, all paths to God, knowing we are all one in this beloved human family. I'm so grateful for this knowing. I'm so grateful for this truth. And I release my word into that sacred yes, knowing it is done. And so it is. So it is. Amen. Blessed be. Thank you. I love you. Thank you.
Now we have an opportunity to participate in a powerful spiritual practice. We will have the opportunity to receive the offering right now. So I ask the ushers to please stand. Okay.